He must have breached some rules by being on his knees when he got kicked in the face by some hulking great bruiser who was standing over him. Obviously,
yes, he,
yeah, obviously he's in the wrong. Perhaps he dented his boot or something. I'm in shock. I can't believe it. I mean, there is, you know, the best defense is offense. But I think that's going a bit too far, don't you think?
Right. You want to be careful here, Nick, because you're not out breaking some rule by even talking about it now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been undoubtedly cowardly and despicable by even bringing it up.
Yeah, of course.
I just can't believe it. I mean, unless there's something other else going on, unless, you know, he had a gun in his pocket and he was, you know, and Hartson was defending himself from, you know, an imminent shooting. Or there was something that perhaps that we don't know and we haven't seen and so on and so forth, but it seems that he was crunched to the ground from behind by this guy. He's on his own team, and he just, he sort of stands over, you know, the thing apparently goes, I didn't see the whole thing, so all I know is what I read in a paper, and John Hartson stands over him and says, and, you know, is kind of making it like, making like the guy took a dive. Like, what the hell are you still crumpled up on the floor for?
As his brain oozes out of his ear.
Yeah. And the guy kind of gets to go up and just flails his arm, which is on the level with this guy's knees, right? I don't know whether he actually made contact with his knees. But just for doing that, and that seems to be like, like bullies all over. Not that I'm suggesting that John Hartson is a bully, but that is the profile of the bully. It will crunch you to the ground and kick you in the head, and then if you you know, make any show of defending yourself, then they'll take that as offensive behaviour and do you even worse. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like they're on a completely their own set of rules. It's like, I can do it to you, but don't even think about doing it to me, because that would be wrong. It's that whole terrorist thing again. You know, we can put a bomb in a shopping precinct, and we can blow up small kids, but don't be shooting us, because that's not what we expected. Or we can, you know, set up snipers who can shoot a soldier from a mile away. But if you shoot back, we're like, well, wait a minute, we're suing you. You know? And that, I know everybody was freaking out about Gibraltar, you know, when the SAS took out those three people. But this is, you know, if you shoot somebody in the back of the head who is defenseless, then that's war. And you're expecting the treatment back to be, oh, well, we'll arrest you and, you know, then we'll let you go. Give you a slap on the wrist, you know, try not to shoot them in the head again. You know, they seem astonished when the fire comes back at them. Wow, we're going to sue you. How dare you? You didn't even tell us. Yes. And that seems to be that class of behavior. Crunch the guy to the ground, and then when he made them, then when the guy who was on the ground was like, what the hell did you do that for? Takes one step back, kicks him in the face. And then calls him cowardly and despicable for complaining about it. Can you, I mean, I am in shock. What the hell is going on there? That's a direct question to you, Kev. Don't make me come in there and kick you in the head.
Again?
Let's talk to a plumber in London. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Yeah, not bad. Nick, yeah, what it was just finding up about the incident you're talking about. Yeah, but what it was, John Hartson went in for a bad tackle on Berkovich. He fell on the floor, and basically, John Hartson just walked away, and then thought, we felt a bit sorry for him, so he walked back up, picked him up, well, tried to pick him up, and he lashed out and punched him right in the side of the leg, and he sort of walked away and then turned back and then kicked him in the face.
Nice.
And so I think I'd do that as well if someone done a tackle to me like that. Nearly put him, just think though, he could have been out of work for about a month or injured.
Now, wait a second, back up. You would do what?
I would.
Whose boots are you putting yourself in? You would do what?
I'm in Berkovich's boots.
Right.
I was a professional football player, I'm earning 30 grand a year, say. Oh, I mean a week, not a year. That's what I earn, not really.
Yeah.
And if he'd done that to me, say I could have been out and not played for about 2 months, lost my place in the team. So if someone done that to me, I think I'll turn around and punch him in the leg back, well, twice as hard as what he got.
Well, it didn't, for, well, all I saw was the pictures that were in the newspaper. I didn't see the actual video of it.
What you have to do, you have to watch it on the telly, so I see it on the news clip, you know, during the night's news.
And he actually connected with his leg?
Yeah, he actually hit him in the leg, that's what I could see. He did punch him in the leg, but I mean, that's just retaliation, that's what you get when you're a man. You mean, you retaliate like that, don't you?
Yeah, but
you
I mean, how much does a punch in the leg hurt?
No, it depends how strong your leg is. You've got big muscles on your legs like them.
Well, look at the size of this bloke. He's got legs like a bull.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. But I mean, I still, it's the point. It's not so much. It's the point of him tackling you badly. You're his teammate.
I know.
Tackle like that.
It's like you're on the same team. It's not like we're playing Saudi Arabia, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and they say it's going to affect morale. It would, right, affect morale, because I'd certainly play with one of my teammates who was like that.
And but the unmitigated gall for this guy's agent to then say that Berkovic was in the wrong. Incredible.
It's you've got to look at it. Both were in the right in a way, because you look at. He's done the bad tackle on Berkovic. He's on the floor, yeah, and he's thinking, what the hell's he doing? I'm playing for this bloke in my team. And he's done the tackle like, we're only training. It's like five-a-side kick around between two bloody bags on the side, you know? And he's done that kind of tackle. I mean, he's turned around and just made me think, oh, I can't take this, and whacked him. He's a bit of a nutter anyway, John Artson, so...
Well, that's for you to say and me to disagree with.
Okay, then.
Because that's the law.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks, bye.
0500-1053-89. It is a free call, but that was a good point. Whichever one he made, or not, as the case may be. I've read the Radio Authority rules and memorized them.
Good to see you're learning.
Yeah, yeah. And completely agree with everything that they say, or don't. For balance. They're a fine and upstanding organization, or not, as the case may be. And we have to take a break now, or do we?
Anorax, email Nick now.
mabbott@talk-radio.co.uk.
Oh yeah, there's Cherie Blair in four different outfits on the same damn day. What the hell's she doing?
I saw that. Same smile though.
Do you think that she, this is an intelligent woman, and now she's just been paraded as a fashion object? Yeah, come on, dear, and we'll take you down the shops, and pack all your clothes, and you can get your picture stuck in the paper as a dolly bird. Oh, well. What is the Prime Minister's wife doing there, by the way? What the hell is she doing there? Go shopping. Buy some silks. Some fake Rolexes.
I'm sure she isn't. Or if she is, you know, the first set.
What is she doing there? You know, the Tony we voted in to run the country. Oh, don't you love her, by the way? What great news. The lending rate has gone down by 0.25%.
Yes!
Let's sing Hallelujah. So what are we going to do with the extra money that we have every month now? What are we going to go... I think I'll go out and buy a Rolls Royce this month. Go first class to Sydney. Might be able to afford to buy a can of Diet Cola beverage. 0.25%. And everybody's going, oh, this is great news for homeowners. But, why? I don't mean to be negative, but please, you're going to have to do a lot better than that.
Yeah, and that's an order.
Yes. But at least Cherie Blair looks nice.
She does, doesn't she?
I wonder how she keeps everything so, you know...
Eh?
Crinkle-free. Because she's just been on a trip to China. Can you imagine what the flight to China must be like?
Oh, well, I mean, she's going to... Presumably she's going to turn left rather than right, though, isn't she, on the...
Chinese Airlines.
In fact, she probably gets her own plane over there.
Yeah. You know those moist wipes that they bring around after the meal?
Oh, yeah.
On, you know... That's what they eat on Chinese Airlines.
Is it really?
Yeah. Not a lot of people know that. And it's the ones that are used on the long-haul routes that come from this country that they eat. Not fresh ones, because they serve those in first. Moist ones. Mmm, the taste of it. Lemon fresh. And very low in calories, as a matter of fact. Here's one in County Tyrone. Hello.
Hello, Nick.
Hello.
Today, I believe, is National Poetry Day. So I was wondering, what are they going to present us with next? Can we not have a healthy nothing day?
Okay, that'll be the topic in the next hour. What next? National Poetry Day.
I see a little silhouette of a man, knickerbutt, will you dally with my fangle?
Well, it didn't rhyme, but I did like it. The sentiment was there. Here's one in five. Hello. Five.
Hello, Nick.
Five.
Nick, it's John Brown here.
From?
From Fife. Nick, okay. I was listening to the news item at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And they were talking about towing a caravan at 120 miles an hour.
Yeah.
To what purpose? Why?
Good point. Why?
Well, you could just imagine Sherry Blair in the back trying to eat her chicken chow mein, eh?
Trying to iron her Chinese outfits, yeah.
That's the ticket. any purpose to that, do you think? Is this going to be a transport of the future?
The 120 mile an hour caravan? No, I don't get it either. did you hear that news item there, Kev? What the hell was that about? Well, I'd to ask the nice newsman.
Yeah, well, yeah. Get Alex in here. Let's find out about this caravan.
No, don't bring him in here.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Okay.
0500 1053 89. Here's a mobile, but I take him straight away. He's on the M6.
Hello there.
Jason.
Yeah, hi there, Nick. First time caller. It's good to hear you. I just wanted to make a comment on the Hartz and Berkovich saga.
Yeah.
Basically, I think there's nothing should be made of it, basically, because, I mean, at the end of the day, it was an isolated incident. It was in a training ground, and, I mean, you know, if it was only for the media sort of prying, there'd have been nothing made of it, and nobody would have said anything.
Yeah, but that's part of that macho, I'm going to literally take it on the chin and say nothing because, I'm not going to shop you and grass you up and all of that sort of thing. You think that just because he would, the other teammates would probably have made him feel bad for having grassed hearts and up. You think that it should just be forgotten?
No, I don't think it should be forgotten as such, but I mean, at the end of the day, it was a training ground thing, unlike the Cantona sort of problem, you know what I mean, when it was in front of, say, 50,000 people.
Well, that Cantona thing, that was more theatre than anything else. I mean, he didn't really get a good contact with the guy, did he? As a kung fu artiste, Eric Cantona is a great actor, do you know what I mean?
Absolute wealth. I won't say great. But, you know, I mean, it's a totally different thing. I mean, like I said, if it wasn't for the media prying, there'd been nothing else said about it. It had just been kept, and there'd been a sort of like argument in the changing room, and enough said.
Yeah, well, you could say that about many things. You know, somebody goes and kills someone, and you say, well, if it wasn't for the media prying or the police prying, then it would all have been forgotten about. Well, I mean, if he does this to his own teammates, what's he like on the pitch?
I see your point, yeah, I suppose so. But I mean, if it was in front of sort of like a load of fans, I'd say it'd be set a bad example, but it was a training ground thing. Tempers flare sometimes.
Yeah, but what you forget is that it's regardless of where it happened, he kicked the guy in the head. I mean, that is a jailable offence.
But it was the other player that actually instigated the actual...
Oh, please, you're talking rubbish, man. He knocked him to the ground.
Yeah, but that was a tackle. Everybody in football gets tackled like that, don't they?
Well, you hardly would expect it from your own teammate.
Yeah, but you're not going to go around and rough him in cotton wool, are you? Because then when it comes to the Saturday, we're just going to... No, it's just be a bunch of pussies,
That's like saying that the army, when they're on manoeuvres, should use live bullets and actually shoot each other, because kind of thing they're going to get in war.
That's different, isn't it?
Oh, he's gone. He's got you. You're here and you're gone. You're probably on the move. It's a great leap forward in communication technology, the mobile phone. Don't you love them? When are they going to get that sorted out? And he just disappeared altogether then. But no, I don't, no, I don't, I don't know. You're wrong. Regardless of whether it happened on a football pitch or not, because people seem to think that, oh, well, it happened on a football pitch. You know, he smacked the guy right in the head. It was football. Nah, he kicked him in the head. You go to jail for that kind of thing. I mean, he could have killed him. One kick to the head, you could be dead. Am I right? It happens a lot.
Absolutely.
That's like attempted murder. It could have been murder.
It could have been.
Yeah, it could have been murder. And so let's say, okay, he killed the guy. Oh, well, it was, you know, it was in training and it happened on the pitch. It's just football, isn't it? No. He killed him. Eventually, this Berkovich is going to die.
Well, yeah, but probably not as a result of, you know...
And then, when Berkovich dies, he'll be able to laugh and say, it was him who did it. He'll be laughing, dead. He'll wake up laughing, dead.
Doubt it.
Really?
Well,
come on, pick a hole in that argument.
Okay, let's try a theory. Sick boy, kick Russ in the head.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was it.
No, I said kick him, not like pirouette round him.
Okay, here's one in Oxford. Hello, Nick.
Nick, good evening. I too saw the video of the incident. I didn't see the tackle. When I started in on the TV clip, Berkowitz was sitting on the ground, legs splayed out at an angle about 45 degrees, and his hands resting backwards and looking rather surprised. Hartson was walking towards him, and I don't know what he intended, or maybe he intended anything at all. And then he changed his mind and started to turn away from him when the guy on the floor raised his hand in a gesture. I don't think he even made contact with the leg.
That's certainly the way it looked in the still pictures. Like I said, I haven't seen the video, but it didn't look like it hit him at all.
Well, I don't think it hit him at all, Nick, from what I saw. But when he did that, Hartson didn't actually kick. It was the sort of sole of his shoe. And it was rather as though somebody had thrown a punch which hadn't connected. It's somebody that was unprepared. And the guy that was unprepared made a gesture. I don't think, actually, it looked to me as though the intention wasn't there and it wasn't a full-blooded kick to the face.
It looks like it to me. Yeah, I'm looking at a still picture of it right now. It looks like he's trying to take the guy's head off his shoulders.
I hold no brief for this guy at all, Nick. I don't, honestly. You know, I think it was a heinous thing he did. But nonetheless, you know, that's how it looked to me. And the other thing about the sportsmanship, his manager said it wasn't very sporting because apparently Hartson had apologised to Berkowitz, and Berkowitz had said publicly that in front of his teammates that he accepted the apology. And what the manager is saying is that having accepted the apology, to go to the papers was wrong. That's, you know, and that's where he calls him, what did he say about him? He wasn't a sportsman or something.
He said he was a coward.
That's right, yeah.
And
yeah.
Despicable.
Yeah, that's right, because he'd accepted the apology.
Yeah, but you forget, he didn't go to the press in this country, he went to the press in Israel. You would hardly have thought that he talked to probably one of his mates, down the pub,
sure.
And the guy went back and wrote it up as this great shocking article.
Anyway, that's the guy.
Kev?
I just did. It was a good call up till then.
Yeah, you're all right,
what
Nick.
Was it?
I think we're pretty safe, carrying on with you.
I beg your pardon.
We just had to dump you, Nick, yes, because you forgot yourself there for a second.
I did. Am I all right now?
Don't do it again.
Oh, well, of course. The FA have got no jurisdiction.
Did
there.
He just say FA?
Oh, for God's sake,
you
Nick.
Really are out of control now, Nick.
The FA have got no jurisdiction.
Did he just say Dick?
Because it was on a training ground.
Oh, right, okay.
That's what I'm told.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
Thank you. Bye.
Talk about sailing close to the wind. I'm going to get him a position on Horatio Hornblower's boat. Here's, we need to take a break now. Oh, blimey. Here, you know there's going to be a big fireworks display tonight? A big natural fireworks display. Do you know how you hear about this?
No.
Oh, well, I'll tell you about it when we come back.
Nick Arnold. You have got to talk to him. He'll listen to you.
Pick me.
Yeah, a display of shooting stars is possible tonight as the Earth passes through the orbit of the comet Jacobini-Zinner. Did you hear about this? No.
Yes, I did, actually.
The effect is caused by tiny particles from the comet burning up as meteors... Oh, no, right. The effect is caused by tiny particles from the comet burning up as meteors upon entering the atmosphere. Several times this century, the Jacobinid meteor shower, known as the Draconids, sounds like someone out of Doctor Who. Oh no, it's the Draconids. Blah, blah, blah. The quality of the display depends on the Earth passing through the comet's orbit or just inside it shortly after the comet itself has passed. Blah, 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 blah. If there is a show, it should be visible this evening. Timing is unpredictable. The Earth crosses the plane of the comet's orbit at 9:53 p.m. That's, later. Exactly later.
We should go somewhere and watch that then.
Yeah, outside perhaps.
The meteor, watch it from in here.
The meteors could appear some hours earlier, but, blah, blah, blah. We probably won't be able to see it because there's too much light pollution. I bet we don't see a damn thing.
Maybe we should go out.
The light is orange where we are.
Maybe we should go out in the country then or something like that.
Look at that. Almost every single call on that board is about John Hartson. Can I have that? I'll take these ones and then no more. I don't want any more calls about this because it's getting boring.
But anything else?
Oh, yeah, it's 0500 1053 89, anything else you like. And the best call of the night gets this great Ian Dury CD. Now, it hasn't got a case, because they sent it out in like a bizarre sort of card thing. But you got the CD, and that's all that matters.
And it's not actually not an official prize, either.
No, I'm just going to give it away, because I've got it, and I don't want it. I'll either throw it away or give it away.
Yeah, but you won't give it to me, will you?
No.
Faxes, by
the
way.
Do you actually want it?
Yeah. But, you know, I figure now you've thrown it out there, if you gave it to me, then there'll be a lot of disappointed people.
Oh, I don't care.
Oh, okay then. Fax us 0541 5969 79. Free material, gratefully accepted.
Yeah.
Email nabbott2bs1c at talk-radio.co.uk.
Here's a mobile in Manchester. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Nick.
Mark.
This John Hartson thing.
Yeah.
Are the police involved yet? Because if that happened in the street...
Yeah.
You'd be down the police station... GBH before you know it.
Of course.
And say, well, the FA have got no jurisdiction. So what? The police have. I mean, you know...
I don't know. The FA have been going on about, well, West Ham had better do something about this. Otherwise, we're going to ask for the video and it's going to be serious and so on and so on and so on and so on and so on.
What about the local police? You know, surely some local police inspector is going to say, hang on a minute, we want to stamp this out in our area. We can't have footballers going doing it on video. I mean...
Don't you have to make a complaint or so? I guess not.
Well, I mean, officially, but I mean, the guy that got kicked would make a complaint and a statement.
But what, what if he doesn't make a complaint? I mean, what
kind of... They don't need him to make a statement because they've got the video evidence.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, why don't they just whip him off down the station and sort it out that way?
Get it sorted.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. 0500 1053 89. It's a free one. Let's just carry on. There's nothing else to do. There's another mobile. Milton Keynes. Hello, Donna.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, I'm Donna. Just thinking about single parents.
Yeah.
I'm a single parent. I work full time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really tired of going into banks and things, and you get this stigma attached to you because as soon as you say single parent, people automatically think you're one of these people that's on the social with no life.
Yeah. Are you one of these people? Are you one of these people on the social with no life?
Not at all.
Good.
I don't claim anything at all. I work full time. I own my own house, and I'm a single parent.
How old's the baby?
2.5.
Wow. How do you cope?
Very difficult. Very difficult. I have to pay a full time childminder, which is £500 a month, and I work for commercial radio.
Do you?
So.
How on earth do you earn enough money to get a childminder in?
I'm on the sales side.
You're on the what?
I'm on the sales side.
Oh, the sales side, where all the money is.
That's it.
A radio station in Milton Keynes?
No, one that's owned by the same group, yes.
I
work in Coventry, actually.
In Coventry?
But I live in Bedfordshire.
There's a there's a commercial radio station in Coventry that earns enough from advertising to pay its sales staff a good wage? You're joking.
Indeed. We're all good salespeople.
Well, I guess so. Must be. How's the radio station?
Very good.
But then you would say that.
I still do listen to the opposition.
Of course. Don't call them, call us. Thanks, Donna.
Okay.
0500 1053 89. It is a freak all. Here is one in Sudbury. Steve.
Hello.
It's another damn mobile. Steve.
Hello, Nick. Sorry. I phoned yesterday when I heard the news about there's £1,300 a day being wasted in lost interest from last weekend's unclaimed lottery prize.
Really?
Yes.
How many people won what?
Well, I think it was a rollover, and two people won and got $6.2 million each, somewhere about there. So there's £1,300 a day in lost interest. But where have Camelot got the money then? In the filing cabinet in the corner of the office? I mean, where does the interest go? It's about £7,000 since last Saturday. Did Camelot get that?
No, I think they calculated on if they had claimed the money and put it in their bank account, then that's the interest that they would have got had they done that.
Yes, but it must be in a bank account anyway, so who does get the interest?
No, I think they just go straight to the Bank of England and then they print it up for them.
Oh, well.
Yeah, they slip the guy a fiver at the front door and then they nip in the back and they just, print off a cut, you know, whatever, 6 million, 12 million, whatever it might be. So it only actually costs them a fiver. Just becomes, and pretty soon the inflation will be going through the roof, and we'll be being paid twice a day, just like in Germany after the war.
Collecting your wages in a wheelbarrow.
Exactly, that's something to look forward to.
Yes, it is.
Thanks a lot, mate. We'll be having the Victoria and Albert Museum. They've got this little section which is tucked away. You virtually need a map to find it. Way up in the sort of dusty, cobwebby bit where nobody ever goes. They've got a little coin section. And they've got a billion Deutschmark note. A billion. Not a million. A billion. A billion.
Billion?
Yes. I think I remember that right. I think it's a billion. Just a small one.
What's that in real
just
money?
Just a small note. A billion. I think it was enough to buy you a sandwich.
All right.
As long as you didn't want an expensive filling.
You didn't want to go to the shop down the road then?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's right. You don't want to go there. No, not with a billion note.
No.
No, you need quite a few of those to go where we go.
A few billion.
Yeah, because we are, young urban sophisticates, and we don't like none of your rubbish.
Yeah.
We don't like none of those rubbish sandwiches that they make over in...
I know the one you mean.
Yeah, you know the one on that road?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the big doors.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're closed at about 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
They also sell, a lot of cosmetics and stuff like that.
No, yeah.
Yeah, they're crap.
Yeah. Really not very good at all.
What's the name of that shop again?
Oh, you know.
You know, it's a big chain.
No,
isn't
no,
it?
No, shut up.
Here's one in Withington. Hello, Nigel.
Oh, hello. I'm a young rural sophisticate, by the way.
Right. Where's Withington?
It's just about 3 miles away from the A40 in Gloucestershire.
Right.
You suggested that Cherie Blair was intelligent.
Yeah.
What makes you think that, actually?
Because she's a lawyer. She earns £250,000 a year.
Ah, but I know she's a QC, but New Labour believes in social determinism.
Believe
so
in
her
what?
Her position as a lawyer could be accounted for by her, no doubt, upper middle class background.
Yeah.
So there.
Her parents.
And she also, sorry, go on.
Like her father before her, who probably didn't till the soil or work down to pit. What was her father? Probably a lawyer.
Well, he must have been, otherwise she wouldn't have met Tony Blair, would she? Probably.
I wonder if Tony is a Mason. What do you reckon?
Ah, that's a treasonable speculation. Cherie wears, if you cast your mind back a few months, Cherie wears a magic amulet to cast off, to ward off bad vibes. That's not a very rational thing to do, is it? if I were a defendant in court and my QC turned up wearing a magic amulet, I'd ask for the duty solicitor.
Yeah, and a big black pointy hat with stars and a moon on it. Yeah.
That's right. And even for a woman, she doesn't look very bright, does she?
Oh, come on, now you're just being plain offensive. She does look bright. She looks intelligent and well-dressed and well-groomed, and it's just that when in full grinning mode, she doesn't take a good picture, that's all.
I think you obviously have an erotic fantasy about Cherie Blair.
Well,
I think that's disrespectful.
Now I've been found out. What, having the fantasy or saying it on the radio?
Both. She is
right.
The Prime Minister's wife, you know. Bit of respect.
A little bit of respect. Not too much, just a bit.
Anyway, I wish to contend that she's not necessarily intelligent.
Because she earns $250,000 and she's a QC.
Because she wears a magic amulet.
It's the magic amulet that did it. Cherie and her magic amulet.
I'll bet you could...
I've seen that video.
Oh, yeah.
It was in a double bill with Deep Throat.
I'll bet you could produce, or I could produce, any number of sort of QCs and so forth who wouldn't be regarded as being particularly bright. I mean,
I don't know, QC, I think QCs would have to have a certain level of intelligence. They'd have to, however that might be measured, they'd have to be able to retain a lot of information and spew it back out again, which seems to be how intelligence
that
is measured in this country, because...
That sounds like a reductionist view of intelligence, actually.
Well, it's not a definition that I ascribe to, but it's the definition that society subscribes to, because, people are defined by how many exams they've got and how many degrees, degree level they've got and all that sort of jazz, which is just your ability to memorize information, spew it back out again at the drop of a hat.
That's not true, Nick. That's a cynical view, because I have a good degree and I didn't get it by just spewing out information.
Oh, really? What's it a degree in?
Modern history.
Modern history.
I've only just got it. I don't want to do that.
Modern history? You're telling me that the subject history is not about memorizing names and dates? Do me a favor.
Oh, come on. You're being very unjust. You have to sort of interpret and think and speculate and say,
do you have
this argument is worth
you're
more than that.
Talking rubbish, man. You just have to spew out the whatever theory is given currency at the time. If you start to stray from the opinions as they have been laid down by your lecturers and by the required text, then they start to think, who the hell's this
not
bloke? What's he talking about?
They'd say to you, for instance, why is this argument better than that one?
And you just say whatever the prevailing view is.
Well, no, you don't, because you don't get marks for that.
Of course you do. Now, rubbish. Did you do a PhD or just a straight degree?
I've just taken my degree.
Right, well, then you're talking absolute crap, mate. What did you get, a 2-1, 2-2, or a first?
Upper second.
Upper second, a 2-1.
I thought I was having an off day.
Come off it. People who get firsts are flat-out genii. And
not true. I have friends who have firsts, and they don't consider themselves to be genii.
No. Well, that was the wrong word. Genius is a different thing entirely.
To be pedantic, that's the second grammatical error you've made in this conversation. You said ascribe, and you should have said subscribe.
Subscribed.
Subscribed.
Subscribed?
Subscribed, yes.
Nigel, I think you'll find he corrected himself, because I was listening and I picked up on that.
Oh,
as well.
Shut up, you two, bickering about. Who cares? You know,
anyway.
You know what I'm talking about, so that's the end of, what does it matter?
Anyway, I wish to say this. Shree Blair is not necessarily intelligent.
Again, you said it. I can't believe he said it again.
What?
You're a very offensive man, Nigel.
I know.
And probably a Tory to boot. 0500 1050 389. Not that there's anything wrong with that, of course.
Of course.
Well, I just had a fact, so it reminded me. Of course, I did actually know this. I'd just forgotten. Cherie Blair's father, Anthony Booth. The Scouse Git until death us do part. I wonder if he talked posh, because you remember Steptoe and Son? What were the characters' names? Alf and...
Harold.
Harold. Harold was the old one, right? Oh, no, Harold was the young one, and,
It was Harold and Dad, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, like Dad, I suppose.
Harold!
And they spoke so, it was common. But in real life, they were all very lovely, rather upper class and super, like that. So completely the opposite of how they were in that program. So I wonder if he was.
Well, probably.
Probably. Who knows? Who cares? Here's one in Guildford. Hello.
Nick.
Yes.
Good evening. What does it matter if Tony Blair's a Mason or not?
What?
Why does it... You said earlier on, when you were talking about Tony Blair, I wonder if Tony Blair's a Mason.
Yeah.
Do you belong to a golf club?
Do I belong to a golf club?
Yeah, do you?
No.
What does it matter?
You're the one that's bringing it back up.
Well, it's just... why?
Why what?
Why ask if he's a Mason?
I just said it in passing. I didn't ask anybody. I didn't, go and look it up or anything. Why are you so upset about it, Andy? You a Mason?
I am.
There you go. You'll probably never go to jail. Thanks a lot, mate. 0500 1053 89. Because they can fix it for you, apparently, can't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, there was something in the papers today. Did you read about that? There's a big court case, and he's going to get let off.
So let's not talk about it, then.
Because I think it was a bit of a nudge and a wink, and, so I'll meet you in the clubhouse afterwards.
Of course.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So we're going to go away, come back, take the snooze, and all of that manner of business. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You are a useless, stupid, great gonk.
Write it down.
It's my birthday today. I'm 31 today.
31 today?
A year older.
Than?
A year older than 30, so I'm 31
today. Question, what is a vacuum? Answer, a large empty space where the Pope lives.
It were good bread in those days, not like the pansy stuff you get now.
And that's how a program director speaks.
I've been feverishly knitting. I'm not very good at knitting.
Mm-hmm.
A chain mail vest.
Okay, dear, well, let's put it to the test.
You miss me.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
You can.
Yes, you can.
actually, and I was sitting there waiting for you to speak to me on A-Buy. I got pulled out by the police, so I've been breathalyzed while I'm waiting for that. Hang up.
Screw them.
Or don't.
Nick Abbott.
Maybe we should play some of this in jury. Play the first track, but don't play all of it. You'd have to cut it out on my instruction. We're going to take a break at 10?
Yeah, we will.
Right, well, we'll come out with a bit of Ian Dury, yeah?
Yeah, if you want.
Play just a bit of the first track. I can't even tell you what it's called. But you'll have to... when I say cut, you'll have to cut at that point. Don't let it go for a second longer, otherwise we'll be in big trouble. You understand?
Well, we've always got our safety net if necessary, haven't we?
Oh, the delay system?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to use that.
Don't you?
No.
You're putting a lot of pressure on me now, Nick.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm happy with these conditions.
Well, suffer, dude.
All right.
Here's one in Torquay. Hello. Torquay.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Oh, right. I've obviously known else. Thank you. I just picked up... I listened to the program a lot, and I just picked up... You used the word Masons, yeah? So I don't know if it's an open subject, yeah? But my concern is, with the Masons, is... the influence that they have in the judiciary.
In the what?
Sorry, I beg your pardon. The judiciary and the police, yes?
Yeah.
And whilst I'm sure there's people in a naivety that would be happy to be a Mason, yeah?
Yeah.
I think the corruption level is quite frightening.
Scary.
Yes. And we, you know, the British are quite submissive and, you know, generally speaking, we stand for the three-car trick with everything. But the Masons, the power that they have... is almost criminal in my view.
They should be in jail, is
yes.
that what you're saying?
Yes.
Perhaps we should just flat out put them to death.
Well, so we accord, yeah? the thing is, I have come across Masons in business and life, yeah? And the power that they have is
scary. I think
yes.
we've been over that, yeah.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't listening earlier.
That's okay. I think, in a nutshell...
Yes.
You're scared.
No, I'm not scared. I think they should be stopped. I'm not scared. I would be prepared to have a crusade. But how many people have tried it and failed?
What, the crusades?
To stop them. Historically.
Well, perhaps we should thwack them with a slipper.
I pass. What do you mean? They wouldn't hurt a slipper, would it?
No, like a spider. We should thwack them with a slipper. In fact, that's probably what they enjoy when they get together at their little meetings. They probably thwack each other with a slipper. In fact, I'm beginning to think about joining them myself. Here's one in... Oh, blimey, it's Professor Popcorn.
Hello, Nick.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Oh.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Anthony Booth, you was talking about earlier
yeah.
on. I've heard an interview, and he talks ever so posh.
Yeah.
Ever, he's terribly posh. So, yes, he does talk very, very, very posh indeed. So that's one thing.
And you know who else talks posh, apart who's from Steptoe and Son and him, is the guy who used to be in The Professionals. What's his name?
What's his name?
Not Bodie. I don't know what he's doing
Doyle.
Now.
Doyle. Yeah.
But the other guy.
The other guy.
The guy with the frizzy hair. He's a Shakespearean actor.
He's a lovely. He's a lovey.
Yes.
He's a lovey. What a week it's been, isn't it? Elizabeth is a year older.
And doesn't John Thor speak like that as well?
He does, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, he was in a Sweeney, he was like, you're Nick, son. Yeah, like that.
You know who else?
Who?
Miff. No, Miff off Ian's programme. I think he's a bit like, whoa, but actually he's very posh.
Yeah.
It's just put on. It's on
I know.
The show.
Velvet smoking jackets, the full bit.
That's exactly
yeah.
it.
What did you say, Professor?
I've forgotten now.
Good.
Did John Thor ever say, get your trousers on, son, you're nicked, or is that just an urban myth?
No, I think it was, get your trousers on, or I'll pinch you.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
See, cheeky boy. Yeah, as I was saying, a week, I mean, Elizabeth is a year older than she was. And independent radio is 25 years old today.
Uh-huh.
And and it's our wedding anniversary this week as well.
Really?
24 years.
You made it.
Yeah. Brilliant, isn't it?
I don't know, is it?
It is. It's brilliant. Yeah, marriage. Fantastic. You ought to try it.
What does she say?
I haven't asked her lately.
Do you ever speak?
Oh, yes, we speak a lot. We don't say very much, but we speak.
Right, yeah.
She's always on the blooming phone. What was I going to talk about? I know. I was going to talk seriously tonight about independent radio,
mm-hmm.
about local radio,
yeah,
and how it's become. It's become a bit sad, isn't it? It's become the same the whole country over. And I mean, yeah. I'm a lover. I mean, I've been listening to radio all my life almost. And I remember the Pirates and listening under the bedclothes.
Ding ding, from a point at sea to the circles of your mind,
that's
Professor.
Right.
This is the new Radio Caroline, LA. That's what I'd like to spread loving awareness.
Loving awareness.
Yeah.
I named my daughter after Radio Caroline.
You
that's
did?
It's sad, isn't it?
What's she called? Radio Caroline.
Good job I didn't.
It's a bit of a clunky name.
Good job I didn't name her after talk radio, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or the other one, or the other place. What was I going to say? I know, yeah, because I drove down country the other day and I got this RDS on the car radio.
You drove into the country?
I ain't got a brand new combiner.
And it changes the station, doesn't it? You go out of one area into another one.
I've no idea.
It does. It's a clever little thing. And as you're driving down, you know, it alters from, like, the station in that area to the next one.
Yeah.
And I didn't really notice it.
Greek FM.
And all the announcers sound so bored these days. They just say, that was, this is, the time is, and it could be anywhere, local music radio, which is a shame. I think it's a bit sad. I think it's a lost opportunity. I mean, our particular radio station, it's like three in a row, time check, the news, commercials, and it's the same old thing hour after hour. Not like talk, and that's, you know, that's be fantastic, but I think local radio, although I suspect it really does make a lot of... Am I getting boring?
No, local radio is.
I'm getting boring, aren't I? I listen to too much local radio.
That'll do it to you. You should have your own show on local radio.
No, they won't have me on.
I can't believe it.
No, it's incredible.
Do they know who you are?
Oh, I work with them. I mean, the people there are not boring, but when they appear on the radio, they sound bored, which is a shame. But they know who I am. I mean, I work with the Orchard FM Roadshow.
Do they have a restraining order on you?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Yes.
Not to within 100 metres, yes.
I'm not allowed out after 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
But there's a curfew on me. And you're trying to make out I'm mad, aren't you?
Me? No. You're doing a fairly good job of that yourself.
Thank you.
Got to go.
Okay, I'll
0500 1053 89. It is a freak. Oh, and we're going to get back with Ian Dury. But not a lot of it. Just a little bit. Okay, this is a test.
Nick Abbott.
You know, you'd think that he's helping you, but he's hurting you.
Okay, first track on the new Ian Dury album, which I thoroughly recommend you go out and buy some great songs on this. And Kev's going to have to cut it on my cue. Very, very catchy. It's sort of like New Boots and Panties Part 2. Wonderful. Words, music, everything. It coalesces beautiful. And cut it.
Well, let me find out what he did learn in school today.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you trust me?
Well, yeah.
In a nutshell, they learned nothing.
They learned jack.
Yes.
Mm.
Did Ian Dury come in? Was he in the building?
He was a guest on Access All Areas a while ago.
Damn it.
With little Nicky Horn.
Well, I like Nicky Horn, but I should have done that.
Yeah, but...
Ian Dury is my hero.
This was ages ago.
So?
Well, we were on 5 days a week then. We, you know, could have...
I would have come in on the extra day.
Do you want him? We can get him.
I'm probably not. We can't, no.
Yeah, we can.
No, why would he want to do this show?
I don't know. Well, you know, we'll give him a prize pack or something. I'm sure he'd come in for that, wouldn't he?
He, famously likes to, or used to, like to hang out with, you know, dodgy characters. I read a piece in some paper the other day which said he likes to hang out with lowlife, which I thought was a little bit offensive, so maybe we should have him on Paul Ross's show.
Hello, I'm Paul Ross, and contrary to what Nick Abbott says, I am not a prostitute.
Yeah, well, that's for you to say and me to decide. Here is, you know, everyone has his price. Here's one in Maidstone. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Steve.
Yeah, hi, Nick. I was going to find out about Anthony Booth, but you've already done that. The other guy you were trying to think of was Martin Shaw.
That's right.
Curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
You were having a bit of trouble with Steptoe. That was Albert. Steptoe was the dad.
Albert, right.
Yeah, and just briefly, though, I've noticed there's a programme on the TV tonight, around about 23:40 on ITV, which is to do with the American government's alleged contact with aliens.
Really?
Yeah, so it might be worth a watch, because I'm sure you're going to get a few people calling in about it. Dreamland, it's called.
Let me just, oh, blimey. Trying to get the TV page on the back of the Daily Telegraph is a complete pain in the neck. Why don't they just print it on the back page, like ordinary people?
Makes sense, doesn't it?
It would. Right, 11:40, Dreamland. Rumours about what goes on at a secret US Air Force base, Area 51 in the Nevada desert, have helped keep sci-fi writers and UFO obsessives in conspiracy theories for years. This two-part documentary, concluding next week, trawls through the evidence. Hasn't this been on before?
I don't think so. I've not seen it before, and I normally try and keep an eye out for things like that. Not that I'm some kind of
nutter.
Contrary to popular belief.
Well, people popularly believe that you're a nutter?
Sure. Well, I phoned you up before and told you about the Danny Kaye song, and I got a bit of stick about that.
There was a Danny Kaye song?
Yeah, you know, the chalice with the palace is the lotion with the potion, and the brew that is true's in the flagon with the dragon.
No, the brew that is... No, that can't be right. It's the what?
It's the chalice with the palace as the lotion with the potion.
Right.
But the flagon with the dragon has the brew that is true.
Right. I think that's about right, yes. Yeah. And who sung that?
No, Danny Kaye actually sung it in a film.
No, I didn't say the Who sung that.
No, you said who sung it.
Yeah, not the Who, though.
No.
Who?
Danny Kaye.
Yeah, Danny Kaye, of course. I don't have any Danny Kaye music.
No.
So here's George Formby instead. Close, no cigar. Yeah. Ding a ding ding. Ringy tingy ting. There is no altogether now on this because there's no words, not nor nothing.
And where's Elizabeth tonight, anyway?
I don't know. She's probably like passed out under a table in a pub. Yeah.
Yeah. Or too many chocolate biscuits.
Eating too many chocolate and like avoiding the cake, but like drinking a load. Oh no, she's given up the booze, isn't she? So she'll just be eating the biscuits.
She's a professional alcoholic anonymous member now.
No, she'll be like passed out with her legs in the air underneath. like you know, like rigor mortis has set in early. She'll be you know underneath.
Let's hope the local paper get a picture of that.
I know, because what a picture that would be. What a picture. Steve, I'd like you to stick it in your family album. Can you do that for me? Thanks a lot. 0500 1053 89. It's a free one. Here's one in London. Hello? Paul.
Yes. This professor.
Yeah.
Is it Paul Merton in disguise?
No, I'm guessing not.
Right. John Hartson.
Yes.
His foot was headbutted by Berkowitz.
I know. He should call the police.
And who the hell is Elizabeth?
It is Elizabeth from Cheddar.
She's a cheese.
She is not a cheese.
Dairy Lee.
And she probably doesn't even smell like cheese. What the hell are you talking about, man?
Who is she?
Who is she? She is who she is. What kind of a question is that? Who is she? I don't know. She is who she is. It's precisely the right answer.
Well, I just nipped out to the gents, and I came back, and I appear to have walked into the wrong radio station in a parallel dimension.
Why?
Well, that guy was just...
What?
Asking questions, which, you know, like, why is she, who is she, you know, why does she exist?
I know. Damned impertinent questions.
I'm sure when I left, it was a pertinent issue and topic-based serious...
I know. You step out for one moment, and all hell lets loose.
Yeah. That's uncalled for.
What did I say?
You didn't say anything.
Through our penis, we knew penis.
Exactly. That's who she is.
She's a year older, you know.
Than
she was last year.
Play that Ian Dury again. I dare you.
All right, okay, we can do this. I've taken it out now, haven't I?
Egypt. Well, go away, come back. Somebody just called up, said they were who?
Rainbow George.
Is that his minder? Because his minder used to be called Spider. I don't know what happened to him. And said what?
He'd love to be on the show, apparently.
Who?
Ian Dury.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, if his record company would care to confirm, then I would be, like, beside myself. I'd probably crumple into a heap on the ground.
What did you learn in school today?
And chat it.
I just wanted to see how tight we can make it.
That's as tight as you can go, without actually using the word jack.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think we were halfway through a jack there, weren't we?
Yes. When excuse me?
You heard me.
What did you just say?
Halfway through a jack.
I don't believe you said that.
I'm sorry.
Ah!
Dump me again, then.
That was the wrong thing to say. Wrong.
I do apologize.
So every day you get a page left in the studio to advertise shows coming up.
Uh-oh.
And everybody's got their own thing, because everybody does topics and stuff, so you can, you know... Lorraine Kelly was talking about prostitutes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Whereas, let's see, have I got the same thing? Oh, no, I've got, yeah. Tomorrow she's talking about pregnancy being a new fashion statement.
Oh, definitely.
Every woman I know is pregnant, so that's a good point.
Well, not every woman.
Prostitutes one day, pregnancy the next. You see how this is beginning to fit?
Yes.
And then there's Nancy and Tommy. And the thing for me, it says, Nick Abbott presents the unique Nick Abbott experience.
It's better tomorrow. Do you want to know what it says?
What?
It says, Nick Abbott presents... Oh, no, sorry. Today. One of the... Which one have you got there? You must have tomorrow's.
I don't know.
Today's and tomorrow's. The other one says, Nick Abbott presents the unique Nick Abbott. No experience.
So we've got to come up, every day, don't they ask us to describe what we do?
Yeah.
But you can't swear on the radio, so they discount what we say. So there's got to be something you can say about this other than that, surely.
Well, you would think so, but yeah. Because you can't pin it down and you can't say, this is what it's about and we're going to be talking about this,
mm-hmm.
And that usually if one of the nice people in forward planning comes and says, what are you talking about tonight, then I'll go,
we don't know.
Cheese?
Yeah. But if Ian Dury would come on this program, but you know when you meet your heroes, you just turn into a gibbering, useless wreck?
Oh, yeah.
Like whenever I come in the office, Kev, you just turn into a gibbering, useless wreck. You'd think you'd have got used to it by now.
Well?
And I'd probably just, you know, sit here going, oh, I think you're really great, which is pathetic.
Just a bit.
But I would love to have him on the show. I can remember gluing my ear to the radio after seeing him for the first time. It was in Edinburgh. He played the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It must have been 1977?
Yeah, that's right.
76, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Tiny, minute little gig. And he was an hour late because the plane was... No, the van was... He flew and the band came by van and... it was just... It was beyond blue. One of the most electric performances I've ever seen in my life. He's one of the best stage acts that this country has ever seen. He's up there with the sensational Alex Harvey Band in their prime. You know, the kids today to go see Oasis, crap. Stage act, rubbish. Flat out, boring. I've seen them. They're rubbish. As a stage act. Ian Dury, it was just the theatre. It was musical. Brilliant.
You talk about the greats, yeah. I mean, what about Sad Cafe?
I think I've seen Sad Cafe. Because, as sad as that might sound, because they played some industry thing in a tent. Who could swear it was Sad Cafe? No, maybe it was China Crisis. One of those. Awful. No, but Ian Dury's doing a tour, and he's promoting the new album, so maybe he would come in. He'd probably come in with about 20 people, and all be crammed in the studio, and they'd, you know, hit me if I asked an impertinent question. So I'd be scared. I'd just ask him, you know, daft things like, do you remember the bus driver's prayer? And, what are Finsbury's? Things like that. What's that?
I don't know.
Somebody's thing just beeped. Was that your watch, Kev?
No, because as you know, I've got one of these, my... giant watch is dead after somebody destroyed it in a public house.
Good.
This was actually months ago, because I've got a nice new watch now. Well, it's not new, I've had it for a while. But my other watch...
Who gives a...
I don't know, you were the one that started talking about my damn watch.
Here's one in Huddersfield. Frank.
Hi, Nick, how you doing?
All right.
Bit geekish this, but you know you were talking about Tony Blackburn.
Yes.
I've dug it out. I've got a recording here of... when he kicked off Radio 1.
Why on earth do you have a recording of it?
Because it was on a videotaped programme, which was a documentary about Radio Luxembourg.
Radio Luxembourg, yes.
And it was on there.
Huh. Right?
And when you said it earlier along, I managed to find the tape, flicked through it, and found it.
Now, before we play this on the air, what? It was a commercial television station that aired this thing?
No, it was the BBC.
All right, we can't play it then, can we, Kev?
I'm just trying to remember if it was included in the documentary beforehand. Probably best not to.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Frank.
He's going to go and play it anyway. He said something like, and a warm welcome along to the exciting new sound of Radio 1. Something like that. And he had some real dreadful looking suits in the studio with him. I can vividly remember watching that clip. Some, you know, old farts who were probably, you know, busy saying how great the Light program used to be. You know.
What I find really scary about the whole Tony Blackburn thing is when I first came to London, because he was on a London station doing the breakfast show.
Yeah, it's a London thing.
And I thought, you know, since various changes in broadcasting had occurred, that, you know, he couldn't possibly be doing the same things. And yet, he was doing the same thing. And you have to admire his longevity. Although he's a big
Excuse
fan of yours.
Excuse me? You have to admire his what did you say?
Longevity.
His longevity. Really?
Yeah.
I've never have admired that myself, but if you say so.
But you know he's a big fan of yours anyway.
Oh yeah, right.
No, he is.
Eh?
You must remember this. One of the industry magazines, who do you admire in the industry? He said Nick Abbott. It was the first thing he said.
Yeah, sure.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Honestly. Because you even told me, and I looked it up, and he said, I like Nick Abbott. True.
What?
True.
Nonsense, man.
No, it's true.
You're talking rubbish.
Right, I will get the bit for tomorrow and all will be revealed.
That used to be a great show they used to do on that station that doesn't exist anymore. It used to be funny. It's the last time that station was funny.
Which station?
Well, it doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, that station.
Yeah. Here's one in Aberdeen. Hello, Murray.
Hello, Nick. I was finding out about things that newsreaders say. And say, for instance, a lot of job losses in a certain area.
Yeah.
Now, what cracks me up every time is when the newsreader says there's been a jobs blow. And, oh, well, you know, I mean, people like me just make the connection and laugh.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks for dragging this whole show down into the toilet. I prefer it when they say
Alistair Wanklin, Moscow.
No, that was a bit unnecessary, wasn't it? No?
Unnecessarily nasty, yes. She says
Al Hibbler.
Mm-hmm. How about
Joe Bablowski?
That wasn't from the news. Can't possibly have been. And I like the sports reporter when they say
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
What about
Yak Azagiris?
Excuse me?
Very painful.
Makesh Alak Makarakesh.
Mm-hmm. But preferably not
Golden Farkar.
Mm-hmm. Play that Ian Dewey thing again, quickly.
Oh,
no.
No. Stop it.
Here's one in London. Hello, Bob.
Hi, good evening, Nick.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, mate?
All right.
Supermarket slogans.
Yes.
They're sending us secret messages. For example, I won't use the names, but the three big slogans are, where good food costs less, lightening the load, and every little helps. Okay?
Right.
Now, if you've recorded me saying that, if you play those backwards, the first one reads bollards, okay? The second one, lightening the load. Well, you play it backwards and see what it says, okay?
Yeah, I think it says
now that is a man who has eaten a lot of beef.
Well, it wasn't what I was saying. But
no, what you had in mind. How about
holy poop on a stick?
Look at these prices.
Yeah.
Something
could
like
be
that.
Something like that.
Yeah, okay. Time to go, Bob. Here's one in Oldham. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Nick.
And Sean.
Hi. I was listening to your show earlier on and couldn't think of anything to ring up with, but
you did anyway.
Yeah. No. Being as I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's National Poetry Day.
It is?
So while I was listening, I wrote a double limerick, I suppose, about the calls, basically.
You have written your own poem about this show?
A double limerick, sort of.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's National Poetry Day. Dan, we should have Ian Dury on this show, because he's a wordsmith. Okay, lay it on us, dude.
Okay. A DJ named Abbott, that's Nick, was becoming decidedly sick of people who were calling and shouting and bawling about Hartson's erroneous kick. So he asked, were there any Cherie fans, and how did old Tony Blair shake hands? Does he just do it normally when meeting informally, or look like he's trying to breakdance?
He's a very disturbed little boy.
Thanks a lot, Sean.
Okay.
I have a little rhyming couplet of my own. No, we don't want to hear this now, do we?
No, we're bored of it, frankly.
We are?
Yeah. I'm bored of it.
But that's the thing with radio, is that you might get bored of it, but the audience don't.
No, we don't care what they want.
If you play it over and over and over again, and the audience only catch 20 minutes of what you do, maximum. You don't think people are sitting home listening to this whole damn show, do you?
You'd be surprised.
Like, the whole show every day? No, nah.
And...
Oh, yeah. Shut up, Cartman. Okay, here's one in... Oh, blimey, it's not her, is it?
Hi. I'm not playing many cards tonight.
It's Shas from Paisley.
Yes.
How do you pronounce your name?
My real name?
Yeah.
Sasha.
Sasha.
Uh-huh.
Can I call you Shas?
If you want.
Can I call you Ars for short?
No.
Okay. So what's up, Shas?
Guess what you can get in Glasgow.
What?
In Glasgow.
Guess what you can get in Glasgow?
What?
Everything.
Kenny dolls.
What's that?
Cuddly Kennys and Cuddly Cartmans and...
Oh.
South Park goodies.
Really?
Yeah.
You can get them in Glasgow?
Yeah, I'm pissed off!
Can't get them here.
Can you not? Cool.
No, I think you probably can, yeah.
You can get Cuddly Kennys and they're like ginormous.
What's the update on whether we're going to speak to these people, Kev?
What's the what?
Update on which show are you listening to?
No, I was talking to Russ Double Barrel. The update is, I was talking to the lovely Lisa, who obviously coordinates these things, and
right.
She said...
No update, in other words.
No, actually, no, there is an update. She said it will be very soon, and actually the lady who's coordinating it from the South Park end said, I assume that this is for Nick Abbott because he can't stop talking about it. So she listens to the program.
Who?
The woman who, the UK agent type person.
Really?
Who, yeah, so there you are. She's probably listening
Hello.
Now, blushing.
Nick ass, dude!
Exactly. So, you know,
Well, where's my free stuff? Damn it. I want videos, I want cuddly toys, I want fridge magnets, I want the plastic,
T-shirts.
I want T-shirts, I want caps.
Want toys?
I want toys, I want money. Money, damn it. You can keep all of that crap. I want money. Money, money, money.
Well, I tell you what, when the...
And she's thinking...
You go to hell! You go to hell and you die!
When the creators come in, you should say, I want money right now, and see what they say.
Yeah.
Because I've been promoting your show. I'm sure they'll, you know, give you a couple of million.
Yeah, they'll say...
What kind of sick weirdo are you?
What kind of sick weirdo are you, Shas?
I'm not a weirdo.
But you play the recorder. Do you have the recorder with you?
I'm not playing it today.
Oh, go on. Play us a little bit of recorder. Please.
No.
Please.
No.
Oh, go on.
No.
Time's running out. Whoops. Wrong one. Time's running out. Come on, play the recorder.
No.
Oh, go on. You know you want to.
No, I'm not playing it.
Don't make me scream.
I'm not playing it.
You know when I said that you playing the recorder sounds like a dentist drill? That's not true. I was lying.
Yeah, but I'm not playing it because you're just slacking.
You know when I said I'd rather French kiss a cow? That wasn't true either. Howdy ho. Go on, Shas, play your recorder for crying out loud. Don't make me kill you. Well, play your violin or something.
No.
Strangle a song out your violin.
I'll get my cat to sing.
Your what?
I'll get my cat to sing.
Get your cat to sing? How are you going to do that?
Come on, then.
By shaking it.
I can't lift the boat. He's too big. Timmy!
Come on, Timmy, give us a song. Or I'll shoot you. Is that a cat?
Who is that then?
That's two cats. You have two cats, Shas? Oh, your cat's killed her. Shas, are you listening to me?
No.
You are a very disobedient young woman.
Am I?
You're a proper little madam, as the advert once said. And you must go to bed now. Say goodbye.
No.
If you don't say goodbye, I'll kill your cat.
You wouldn't do
it. Okay, she just wouldn't take goodbye for an answer.
We'd just like to say we don't condone...
killing cats with machine guns,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, talk show.
Waste of bullets. Here's one in Ely. Hello, Tim.
Hello there.
How you doing?
Not the cat, by the way.
What?
Not the cat. Tim, not Tim the cat. From the previous call.
The cat was called Timmy?
Yes, that's
right. Oh, right.
You have a very short-term memory loss.
I do, yeah. I never listen to this show.
All right. I want to talk about Ponzi menus.
Ponzi menus?
For example, this really annoys me, by the way, so if I get angry, I apologise.
Yeah.
Pan-fried.
Mm-hmm. Fried in a pan.
What else are you going to fry it in?
On a griddle?
That's not frying.
Okay.
Is it really? And it's a form of pan anyway.
Mm-hmm. Next?
What about parve, or puree, or coulis, or timbal, or bonfire?
Or bonfire?
Bonfire of vegetables.
I've never heard of such a thing. A bonfire?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
What's a bonfire of vegetables?
It's vegetables.
It arrives smoking from the kitchen with the Guy Fawkes on the top. What are you talking about then?
Well, don't ask me. I didn't invent it. No, it's sticks of vegetables piled in the fashion of a bonfire. You know, how children put up on waste ground, put up bits of wood.
Right, a pile.
Mm-hmm. Basically, yeah.
I can't stand menus in this country that are in French. What's that about?
Exactly. Another thing as well is, this really annoys me, is a restaurant I went into Newcastle upon Tyne. I won't mention the restaurant. It knows who it is, but I had, this is hilarious, this was. They told me, the menu told me whereabouts on the plate the food was going to be.
What?
It was a parfait of salmon centred on a green salad. Centred on. So I was very happy about that. I really enjoyed knowing that it was.
Well, I don't know. That lacks imagination to me. If it was kind of off-center in an artistic manner, then that would have been.
Too,
yeah, that would have been much better.
Too.
Yeah,
could have had it anywhere.
In the in the vicinity of.
another good one. This is true. I kid you not. You've got to translate this one.
Look to the left of the lettuce, and there it is.
this is a real one. This is a real one, and I kid you not. This is what I found in a so-called English restaurant. Very few of them left in the country, but this is what it was. I kid you not. It was laminate of Mary's Piper, rutabaga, and tibia of beef, au poivre en croûte.
Really? Was this in a motorway service station?
No.
Was this in one of those places where they have pictures of the food taped to the wall?
Not as such. They had bits of food on the wall, but no pictures.
Well, my gastric juices are bubbling just thinking about it.
Oh, come on, what is it then? Come on, we want to translate it.
Steak and chips.
No. Cornish pasty.
Cornish pasty, of course. I should be looking for it in the freezer section of my local deli. Thanks a lot, mate. 0500 1053 89. It's a freak all. What?
Sorry, I had an itchy nose.
Well, why did you put both hands in the air?
Because I was going to indicate that you should break.
Oh, take a break and we'll come back with the injury. It's your all day, all Ian Jury station for the 90s. It's the track that we can only play just a bit of, and I'm going to leave the cutting up to you. I want to hear the whole of the word Jack.
Oh, come on.
And none of the word that follows it. It's the first track on the new Ian Jury album. Hut!
You're not being fair to me.
Nah, shut up. It's a test.
Did you learn in school today?
Jack. Yeah, exactly.
Congratulations, you win. Play the rest of it.
Yes, how disgusting.
Play it, damn it.
I don't think so.
No, okay. Here's a call in Livingston. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Good. Can you play that song for us, the South Park song? You keep sort of saying you're going to play it, and then I've got to go to work and miss it in between the sort of calls sort of things. Well, can you play it for us, please?
I'll play it in bits, just to really annoy you.
You're doing quite well with that already. Why don't you play it all? Go on.
Golly, that isn't very nice.
Because Kev doesn't want me to.
So what? You never do. And you never listen to Kev.
I know, suddenly this is his show. What the hell's he got to do with you?
But
I should teach you a lesson.
No, it's not that I don't want you to. You can if you want. It's your show. You can do whatever the heck you like.
It's my show.
All right. It's Sick Boy's show, really. But, you know, we like you to pretend.
Are you happy now, Stuart?
No, because I can't hear it very well. I want it mobile. I need you to play it at a time so I can switch on and listen to it.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. You leave your name and address and we'll give you a list of when and where we'll play it later. Or I'll send it to you in the post. Or none of the above. And all together on the last word, don't stop right there. Don't even think about it.
Hey, someone, what's this really want to say it then?
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Stuart.
Cheers, mate.
05 has another unsatisfied customer. 0500 1053 89. I still have got that Ian Jury CD. I'm going to give it away. I was thinking of giving it to Kev, but he's, you know, he's aggravating, as usual. Here's one in Braintree. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Nick. All right?
Yes, sir.
Hello. I've never phoned you before because, like, you make me laugh so much on your show because, like, I don't watch the telly very often because I'm visually impaired. And when you put Carol's voice and Elizabeth's voice over on the radio, it just cracks me up. It really does. And that doesn't sound like any of them. You're talking about bands, what you've seen before. I saw the Commodores and the Supremes in Redhill in Surrey when I was at college there. And they was absolutely brilliant. You wouldn't have known if Diana Ross wasn't there or if Lionel Richie wasn't there with the Commodores. They was absolutely sensational. It really was. And the other bit about Tony Blackburn, what a sensational sound that one was. And that was his most catchphrase, I think.
No, it was Arnold, wasn't it? He had this fake dog.
Oh, yeah.
Dog.
Well, my dog can't bark now because he's laying down sort of on the floor because he's just had his dinner.
That's not much of a catchphrase, Steve. Are you sure that's how it went? I seem to remember it in another way. But you're the expert.
Yeah, what a sensational sound that one was.
It seems like Tony is on the phone. You're a genius, Steve.
He was brilliant.
We should give you your own show. Thanks a lot,
I remember the first one, what Kenny Everett played. Hang on a minute. What Kenny Everett played was Bridge Over Troubled Water. I won't mention the station.
Yeah.
With Tool.
Was there a point there? I missed it.
No, really. No.
Kenny Everett played Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Yeah,
okay, well, thanks for the news, Steve. It's like a walk down memory lane, ain't it?
Yeah, and it was excellent that he chose to kick off with a real pacey one.
Kenny Everett played the Bridge Over Troubled Water.
As his first record.
He did?
Well, that's what Steve just said.
Well, what does he know?
I don't know. I wouldn't have thought it was a particularly good one to kick a program off with, though, is it?
No, he should play Ian Jury.
Should he?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Right out of the new news, we should always play Ian. We should play that track. In fact, that should be the actual theme tune of this radio station. And just to check whether the person on the board there doing your job is on his toes, we want to hear all of the word Jack and none of the word that follows it.
Which is what?
It's
Don't say it.
His I said I've given away that CD. I've got 10 minutes left. I'm going to give it away to whoever wants it. Or rather, whoever, you know, impresses me enough to get it. Hello.
Hi,
Great
Nick.
Yarmouth. How you doing?
All right.
What up?
Yeah, I was just phoning up to see if I can have it.
What, the CD?
Yeah. I heard you say you're going to like, give it away.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, I'd phone up and ask for it.
Well, I guess that's exactly what you did.
Excellent. Could I have it, then?
I'm guessing not.
Oh, was it?
No.
Why?
Well, why would I want to give it to you? I don't follow. What, you just think you can just ask for it and it will be yours? Who the hell do you think you are? What is this, like a swap meet? No! You have to give in order to get.
Well, I'll give you something.
Yes? What?
I don't know.
Don't make me pry it out of you, boy. What are you going to give me?
Oh, God damn it, I don't know.
Here's one in,
Whoa!
What?
No, I'm just shocked at that Brett there. He what? Suddenly turned...
We're going to go for a break, and then we'll do Screenless after.
All right.
Or a lightning round, or something like that, I don't know. And I'll give the CD away in the last 10 minutes. What's wrong with that?
That's fine. That's
Here's
good.
A bloke on the moors, waiting for the asteroids. Hello, Anthony.
How's it going, man?
All right.
Girl, we're up on Mars, waiting for these meteorites to come past flickering in the sky.
And how is the sky? Is it clear? Is it dark? Is it...
It's a bit murky. There's a few stars around, but clouds have just come over. They're meant to be coming at 9, aren't they?
Yes. No, actually, 9:53.
9:53,
yeah.
Is that when they're coming?
That's when we pass through whatever it is that's, yeah.
All right, mental. Hey, can I plug my Van de Spire?
Sure, on another show. Here's one in Taunton. Hello, Monique.
Hello.
Monique.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I'll give you something.
Yes.
I can have the Ian Dury CD.
Mm.
I'll give you a blue.
Stop her right there.
I think she was trying to be funny, but yeah. Monique...
A blow-up balloon is what she was
exactly
going to say.
Exactly what she was going to say.
Yeah, we could have Professor Popcorn over, it'd be like a party.
Wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it be great? He could, you know, bounce out of the cupboard in his clown's uniform. Or at least he would be able to if we hadn't padlocked it first. But that's forward thinking on our part.
Just a bit. Can we take a break, please?
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with a lightning round or something. What are we going to come back with?
We could do, like, a lightning round, and people just have to give the reason why they should have the CD.
No.
Oh, well, you know, why did you ask me then?
Because I thought you might come up with a sensible answer. Shut up. I'm going to have a lightning round, and it's, eyesore. Why not? Is there a good reason why it shouldn't be eyesore? Probably because it's difficult. How about,
I had.
All right, then. I had. There it is. From a nut. I mean, in a nutshell. I had. Finish that sentence. It's a lightning round happening now. We haven't done this in a dog's age, and I think we're about to find out why we haven't done this in a dog's age, because they normally descend into complete rotten rubbish.
Anarchy. So,
yeah, anarchy. I and them. Right, I'm going to leave it up to you, Kev. I want all of the word Jack and none of the word that follows it. Here,
all right.
Here's a couple of calls that we've had lined up for previous to getting into the lightning round. Hello, Pat.
Hello.
Pat.
Yes.
What's up, Pat?
Well, I would like you to give me the Ian Dury CD.
Right, why?
Well, I will give
you... Hang on. Here it comes. Are you ready, Pat?
Yeah.
Now, don't say it.
Did you learn in school today?
Mm-hmm.
Jack.
Good work. Why would I give it to you, Pat?
Because I'd give you all my undivided attention for 2 hours every single night, even listening to your advert, and I'd also give you my undivided attention from 1 to 4 every afternoon.
Yeah. And nobody has loved me like you love me, Pat. This is not modern love. It's love like we had in the olden days, isn't it? Feel like pushing a bike up a hill. No, Pat, no.
That's not fair.
I know. That's life. Get used to it. Here's one in Barclay. Hello, Simon.
Hello, Nick.
Simon.
Good evening.
How you doing?
The CD you're giving away.
Yes.
Since it was Elizabeth's birthday yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you give it to her? I'm the CD.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Nick, also, you say about people listening to your show.
Mm-hmm.
I sit on a tractor all day long, and I listen to your show all night long as well, and I've just finished.
Really? You sit on a tractor all night long?
I ain't got a brand new combine earlier, and I'll give you the key.
Anyway, gotta go.
Okay. I don't know why I'm playing that. It was a mistake.
Yeah, bye, Nick.
Tutty bye. He hears this a lot. Here's one in York. Hello, Tom.
Hi.
How you doing?
Nick. Yeah, I had occasion to be in a record store in Edinburgh in 1984, it must have been.
Yeah.
And I met Ian Dury out of his face. You will not believe what happened next. I didn't even know who the guy was.
You met Ian Dury out of his face. That sounds like a Twilight Zone moment.
He came out of his face and he was inebriated.
Wow.
And he stumbled in there with some other guys and collared me and bought all his records for me. So all I've got now is a gap where that CD should be.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you ain't going to get it from me. Go out and buy it. You have everything else for free, crying out loud. He bought it for you. Good grief. The least you can do is go and buy his new CD. Blimey, there's a bloke wants everything for free. Okay, as we start to do a lightning round, we haven't got hardly any time to do it. Hello? Line one. Oh, good call.
Great.
Sol, here's line three.
Hello, this is Kirsty Young. Now, I know you've been wondering where I've been for the last couple of months. Well, now you know.
Here's line four.
Hey, I had no personality, so they gave me a job on my local radio station.
And line five.
Hi there, William Hake's forehead. That's a nice saw.
Six.
I guess about half an hour before I went to bed and...
Back out one.
Hi, I had a great one for eyesore.
Yeah?
I saw women in half.
I'm a magician.
Oh, really? What about the great one? Here's two.
I love Nick Abbott Show on Talk Radio.
Thanks a lot, Dad. Here's three.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Lightning Man?
Yes.
Yeah. You're line number.
What did he say?
Can I have a line number?
You're on line three. You're on
line
the air.
Three. Yeah, I had high hopes of this lightning round, but it's really gone downhill now.
Yes, yeah, I know. Why did you have to call? Here's four. Line four. Here's five. That's the last angry duck I want on this show. Line five.
Hello, this is me.
It sounds like you, yeah. Oh, blimey. I prefer the duck.